Anybody here know that God is all about love? Oh, come on now. Let me ask that question again. Anybody here know that God is all about love? Amen. We ought to show each other love. Amen. Because when we're showing each other love, we are actually showing each other God. Amen. Amen. There's no better gift in this world than you can give someone than to give them God. Amen. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Our Father God, we come to you this morning and say thank you, Master. As the children have sung this morning, the love is here. So we say thank you because we need to feel love. Master, we need to cherish love because we need to learn how to be about love. Thank you for you being love. Thank you for you being in our lives. Thank you for you being here today to share with us that love. And Master, we pray that while we're here, that because of your love, we learn something different today that will make us better for the kingdom of God. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we do now pray. Every heart say amen. Amen. We'll now have our opening hymn, hymn 291.
Good morning, church family and friends. It's a nice muggy day outside. For our announcements, the senior ministry will meet on Wednesday, May 21st in the Fellowship Hall at 10 a.m. All seniors are invited to attend. We're also acknowledging our pianist, Miss Belinda Stewart, is back with us. And also, Miss Gaines, you both have been missed. We want to please continue to pray for our church members, Roosevelt Gooden and Kim Gillis. Kim and her parents are safe. Moderator Fornes will continue to provide updates to us. Birthday announcements for the week. Yolanda Cal on 5/22. Also, announcement for the women of the Women's Fellowship. Our president, Dr. Sybil St. Clair, is asking that Harvest Committee sign up will occur today on the right side front pew. So please see her after worship service today. I wanted to share a story as visitors, my apologies. If we have visitors today, would you please stand and be acknowledged at this time? Looks like we're all one big happy family. Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. So I'm fitting in with the children's choir theme. I want to say eye-opening, perspective changing, faith building, revelation. When we take our fears, our angers, our frustrations, our doubts, our jealousies, whatever, our sins to the cross, nail them there, keep them there, leave them there, then we show ourselves to be who we are and whose we are. We are God's children, and we are a community, and we're going to love on each other. Have a blessed week.
The presence of the Lord is here.
Amen. Anybody know that the presence of the Lord is here? Wow. Let me ask that question one more time, because I believe if I was in the presence of the Lord, I'd be a little more boisterous about me knowing that I'm sitting in his presence, because I believe I will probably raise my voice and say thank you, amen, or wave my hand, pat my foot, do something and let him know that I know that he's in my presence, or shall I say I'm in his presence. Anybody in here know that the presence of the Lord is in here today? Amen, amen, amen. Our God is worthy to be praised, amen, amen, amen. Glory be to God. Amen. I feel him stirring. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Father God, we come to you this morning to say thank you, Master. Thank you for your presence. Not only for your presence, but for your power that comes with your presence. And not only the power that comes with your presence, but the love that comes with your presence. And not only love that comes with your presence, but the grace and the mercy that comes along with your presence as well. And Master, we'll even go beyond that and say thank you for your forgiveness that comes along with your presence. Thank you for your mercy and your kindness that comes along with your presence. Master, we all want to say thank you for undergirding us with your presence, because your presence has the power to give us the ability to stand on solid ground. So this morning we come to say thank you, Master. Thank you not just for those who are in this congregation today, but Master, for those who are coming, Master, for those who are traveling, Master, especially our sister Kim Gillis, Master, and our brother Roosevelt, and our minister Corliss, who are traveling for their families, Master, for their situations that they know that you need to be involved in. They need your help. They need you to touch and change things. They need you to make things better. So, Master, we send with them a word of power, a word of prayer, for you said that we can do this, for you said that we can claim things to be as though they are, even though they're not. So, Master, where there's need to be healing, we pray for healing. We pray, Master, where there need to be those who need to be built up, build them up. And, Master, where there need to be changes, make those changes. We believe these things to be done right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Not because we want to take power, but because you said that if we speak those things, they shall happen. For life and death lies in the power of the tongue. The tongue today speaks peace, speaks healing, and speaks strength in this hour. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let every heart say, amen. Amen. We ask now that our officers will come for the purpose of tithing and offering. Master, we come now to say thank you for these gifts that have been given here today. And Master, we pray that we use them to uplift your kingdom. We ask now these blessings in your Son, Jesus Christ's holy name, we pray. Let all hearts say amen. Send somebody, send me, I'll go. Anybody here feel like that? Well, you don't care if you have to go by yourself. Send me, Master, I'll go. I remember as a young boy, I would say that, not realizing I was speaking into my own life. That one day he would send me. And the question was, would I be ready to go? I found out I was ready. Anybody here ready to go? If you have to go all by yourself, Amen, amen. I asked that question because I'm looking to see if I have any disciples in the house. You laughing, I'm not playing. Because we're here to make disciples, and disciples will go if they have to go all by themselves. A disciple doesn't need someone to be with them. They can travel all by themselves in the name of the Lord, amen. And stand on the word of God and not be persuaded or moved off of what they stand for because they believe in the God that they serve. Amen. Anybody here believe in the God that you serve? Amen. 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 Our God is an awesome God. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. A very familiar passage of scripture. Matthew chapter 7. There is not a book called Matthew's. Matthew chapter 7, verses 15 through 20. I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Say, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Oh, yeah. Use in order to win this fight. I've got to give God all that's right. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. My mountains get high, I live for Jesus. My valleys get low, I live for Jesus. My way gets dark, I live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I like the way He set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Somebody here, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here want to live for Jesus all of their days. Oh yeah, the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I like the way He set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Come on, join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me and help me live for Jesus. Come on and join me, help me live for Jesus all of my days. Oh yeah, the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I like the way He set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Somebody here, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here, yeah, they want to live for Jesus. Somebody here want to live for Jesus all of their days. Oh yeah, the Lord has been so good to me. Oh, I like the way He set me free. I got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. You can't stop me, you may as well join me. You can't stop me, you may as well join me. You can't stop me, you may as well join me. Oh yeah, the Lord has been so good to I like the way he set me free. See, I've got a mind to live for Jesus all of my days. Give God a hand clap of praise. All of mine. Every one of mine. Can you join me? Say, every one of mine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, Jesus. When I think about the goodness of my Lord. Because if you feel like me, I'm not worthy. Anybody here think you're worthy? If so, let's have a talk in the back. Because none of us are worthy. But yet and still, the goodness of our Lord covers all of our faults. Somebody ought to give God some praise in here. Amen. Amen. Matthew's chapter 7. Verse 15 through 20. It reads, "Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Amen. And just for a few moments, I would like to talk with you from the subject, "You are known by your fruits." Let me say that one more time. You are known by your fruits. And my proposition to you today is this: man can see the quality of your fruits. Let me say that one more time. Man can see the quality of your fruits. Today we are dealing with an interesting passage of scripture that's in a very complex chapter. And this chapter 7 is the continuation and the conclusion of Christ's sermon on the mount, which began in chapter 5. As Christ closed this sermon, he covers several different theological ideas in reference to relationships inside and outside of the kingdom of God. He's covered so many ideas within a short period of time, it makes some of these transitions seem like they're out of place. It makes the scriptures look like they don't belong, but perhaps they belong in another book, or perhaps they belong somewhere different in this chapter. He covered a long list of things within a short period of time. In verses 1 through 5, he talks about judging others. In verse 6, he talks about honoring the word of God. In verses 7 through 11, he talks about the importance of prayer. In verse 12, he talks about the golden rule. In verses 13 and 14, he speaks on the narrow and the wide paths. In verses 15 through 20, he talks about identifying false prophets. In verses 21 through 23, he talks about the importance of obedience. And in verses 24 through 27, he closes out talking about the wise and the foolish
builders. He covered a long list of things that talks about Christian conduct, how we operate in the church and how we operate outside of the church. Because some of us think that we can do one thing while we're in and do other things when we're not here. But I'm going to tell you this, if you can't do it in the church, you ought not to be doing it. Huh? Let me say that one more time, in case that was a curveball for some of y'all. If you can't do it in the church, you ought not to be doing it. Because guess what? This building is not the church. You are the church. I'm trying to help somebody today. Hey, man, I struggle with preaching this because I wanted to preach about love. The kids started singing about love. I'm like, God, that's what I want to preach about. But God said, it's not your agenda. Mm-hmm. This is my agenda. But he wants us to know that our Christian conduct ought to be consistent. Yes. You ought not to be wavering in how you deal with the church and deal with the world. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that God said, if you are like that, you're considered to be a double-minded man and you are unstable in all of your ways. And not only are you unstable in all of your ways, God said, I will spew you out of the body because you make me sick to my stomach. Some of us think we like fine wine and realize we're making God sick. God says, some of the things that you do are making me sick to my stomach, and I'm willing to spew you out of the body. Because I need you to change your conduct. I want you to understand, not only do I need you to change your conduct, man is watching you. And man can see your fruit, and you can't hide your fruit. He says, because I pulled the cover off of you and have you shining like a light before the world. And if you're shining like a light before the world, God can't hide you. So the question is, what kind of fruit are you bearing? What kind of fruit tree are you? When we look at this text, we find, when we exegete, that Jesus is not only talking about prophets and preachers and teachers, but he's also talking about believers. And so I know some of you are sitting here thinking, well, Reverend, you preaching to yourself. Yes, sir, I am. But guess what? I'm preaching to you too. Because you can't become a preacher or a prophet without being a believer first. So when I preach to preachers and teachers and prophets, I'm also preaching to those of us who consider ourselves to be lay people, because you had to be a lay person before you become a prophet. So he was inclusive in this when he said, beware of them that are false teachers. Now, some teachers don't teach from the pulpit. Some teachers are teaching from the pews. Amen. If I hit you, just say ouch. Say it under your breath. We don't want to know who you are. God wants us to understand that it's important that we deal in humility. It's important that we have a strong prayer life, because that prayer life will bring us to a place of humility. And not only would it bring us to a place of humility, but it'll also give us a spirit of discernment. He warns us about being hypocritical. Lord have mercy. This next one, he warns us about having judgmental attitudes. And many of us, we can judge people. Amen. Amen. They don't fit my status, Reverend. What status you got? According to the Bible, you a filthy rag, just like that person who you said is not of your status. He told us to be aware of these things and be careful of shallow religious processes. We had to make sure that we are doing his will and not our own will. We run into a problem when we start taking upon ourselves to do the will of God. That means we're operating within and out of ourselves versus operating within and out of God. God says, beware of false prophets, false believers who are not genuine, who are not genuine Christians. How do you know they're not genuine Christians? Well, the Bible lays out some things for us. It says, be careful. Because they have, first of all, evil spirits. That's why you need to be careful about who you're allowed to speak to you. Who you're allowed to teach you. Because it's a spiritual warfare. And I want you to understand there's no way around it. No matter who you come in contact with, you got to understand there's one or two spirits that live there. Either it's of God or it's of the enemy. And it's up to you to allow which one to speak to you and have a way in your spirit. You have to be careful because if it's the evil spirit, they don't travel by themselves. They travel in packs. That's why Jesus said they're like raving wolves. Wolves travel in packs. They hunt in packs. And what they do is they lead you to a place where they can trap you and attack you from all sides. Remember what the Bible has to say about that. Matthew 12:43-45 shares with us that when an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it tries to find rest. And when it can't find rest, it comes back to that person. And when it comes back to that person, it brings seven more spirits with it that's more powerful than he is. And then the Bible says the last state of that man is worse than the first state. You must understand we are in a spiritual warfare. And you have to be careful of who you allow in your presence. That's why Jesus says, watch the fruit that they bear. Don't so much watch their actions, because people can fool you for a little while. But watch the results of their actions. What comes of their actions? Well, if anger come of their action, that's not of God. If confusion comes because of their action, that's not of God. If you see them seeking revenge, that's not of God. If you see them creating malice, that's not of God. If you watch them being blasphemous, which means they speak against the power of the Holy Spirit, that's not of God. If they have filthy communication, which means they tell lies and do selfish things in order to make themselves look good, in order to get you to do things for them, because they're manipulating you because they want a certain outcome to come and they use you to get that outcome. That's not of God. He said, watch for these things. If they love the worldly stuff, watch for these things. What fruit are you bearing? Are you someone who looks for things to be lovely? Are you look for kindness and sweetness in situation? Do you look to make everything right with everyone? Do you look to find the good ground? Do you look to find a common ground with somebody? If you do these things, then you're walking in the spirit of God. But if you don't do these things, the Bible says that we ought to be weary of you, because the fruit that you are bearing is not good fruit. And the Bible shares that that person who bears evil fruit shall be hewn down. In other words, they shall be eventually cut down and cast into the fire. My brothers and my sisters, you need to understand what fruit that you are bearing. Sometimes we get beside ourselves and think that we can do stuff and nobody is watching. What I want you to know, God is always watching. You think you're getting away with stuff? You're not getting away with anything. You can't fool God. The Bible teaches us that he sit on high and look low. For those of us who play football, we know that our coach had this coaching tower. I used to hate when I was in junior high school, I used to hate when my coach went up to the coaching tower. Because I knew they were feminists. Not only were they feminists, but he could see everything on the whole field. Now, when he's on the field with you, he didn't see all your mistakes because there's objects blocking his view. But when he's sitting high and he's looking low, he can see every mistake you make. And every time someone make a mistake, he would stop practice, which made practice take longer because he could see everything. What I'm trying to tell you, some of us are not getting blessings because the one who's sitting on high is watching you. And every time you make that same mistake that you told him you weren't going to make again, he got to hold up your blessing because he's watching you make that mistake. My brothers and my sisters, what fruit are you bearing? Are you pleasing God? Are you pleasing Jesus with your decision making? Or are you embarrassing him? Are you making him regret that he ever created you? What fruit are you bearing? Are you a tree that someone can look at glory be to God, I can't get it out. And they are pleased by what they see. But when they get to the fruit and they take a bite, the fruit is sour. Have you ever seen someone who's beautiful on the outside but ugly on the inside? I want you to know that when you're ugly on the inside but beautiful on the outside, people can see your ugliness. I'm going to get a little personal here. I was trying to talk to a young lady one day. I was in junior high school, and I caught myself being smooth. But when I got to watching her actions and how she manipulated and dealt with people, I told her, I said, you know what? You're the ugliest pretty person I ever met. I want you to know that people can see who you really are. You can't hide who you really are from people because eventually who you really are will come out. And when that comes out, I pray that it's something that's pleasing in the eyesight of God. Because if it's not, then God is not pleased with you. I don't care how you make yourself up, how much makeup you put on, what hair you put on your head, what shoes you put on your feet, what car you get in, what house you leave, what job you have. None of that means nothing to God if the inside of you is ugly. Jesus was talking about the folks who were sitting in front of him. He was talking about everyone in the crowd. Because in order for us to move the kingdom of God forward, our fruit need to be good. If the world sees a pretty fruit and bite and is sour, they won't return back to that fruit tree. But if they see a beautiful fruit and they bite that fruit and that fruit is sweet, they'll keep coming back. My mother used to say it like this, baby, you can catch more flies with honey. Your whole purpose of being a Christian is to build the kingdom of God. Amen. Your whole purpose for being here on earth is to build the kingdom of God. Don't get it fooled. Don't get it twisted. Don't think you're here to build your own kingdom. You're here to build the kingdom of God. Matthew 6 and 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things that you're concerned with will be added unto you. In other words, if you want to build your kingdom, build God's first. And the only way that you can build God's kingdom is through bearing good fruit. If you're not bearing good fruit, then you are not working for God. You are working for yourself. What fruit are you bearing? Today, I hope the word stood before you like a mirror, so you can look in that mirror and see yourself for who you really is. Or shall I say, who you really are. There's oftentimes I stand in front of the mirror and ask myself the question, who are you? What are your plans? Who are you serving? What will you do for him? Because if I'm not doing that, then I'm being selfish and operating out of self. I'm looking to build Roderick and not build the kingdom of God. So when I interact with the world, I interact in the fashion in which it's pleasing to God. The fruits that I look to bear are good fruit. The seeds that I plant, I pray that they're good seeds. So when God comes back and water them, they'll grow and be beautiful for the kingdom of God. My brothers and my sisters, I'm asking, I'm praying that you're doing the same thing. That you're asking God, what is it I ought to be doing? What is it that I'm not doing that I should be doing? How should I do certain things? And you know what those things are. I can't answer those for you, but God can. What fruit are you bearing? Because you are known by your fruit. And I'm not talking about your children. I'm talking about the effect that you have on people's lives. Are you a positive influence? Or are you a negative influence? And all of that preaching, that's all Jesus was asking. Will you be a positive influence? Or will you be a negative influence? Will your fruit be good fruit? Or will your fruit be bad fruit? Because if your fruit is bad fruit, God said, there will come a time when I will wash my hands of you. The Bible says that God will give you over to a reprobated mind. A reprobated mind means that you are so fooled in your ways that you can't get corrected. God will wash his hands of you. I don't know about you, but I don't want God to wash his hands of me. I want every fruit that I produce to be good fruit. I don't want it to be evil fruit. I want it to be fruit that God is pleased with so the kingdom of God can move and go forward. Give God a hand clap of praise. The doors of my Father's house are now open. If there would be one who do not go, I can't talk today, who don't know God and the free pardons of your sins, the Bible says to find him while he is near, for surely there shall come a time where he cannot be found. The doors of my Father's house are open. If there would be one. Oh my, we all, oh my sister,
Amen. Give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Father God, we come now, and Master, say thank you for these souls that have been given here today, who have come to say that they love you and that they want to be a part of this congregation. We pray, Master, that we do our due diligence and give them all that they need to be strong disciples, because that's what you are looking for. You're not looking at pulling numbers. You're not looking at how many people are here on certain Sundays. But what you are looking for are people who are committed to you, people who will walk strong in your word. So we pray as a church family, we can give them all they need. And Master, we ask that not only we give them all they need, but you give us all that we need so that we can be that resource for them. So we can undergird them and lift them up. Master, give us what we need to be even strong for our own lives. And Master, we ask not only that, but we ask that you cover us now as we prepare to leave this place. Watch over, protect us, keep us until we can return back to this place where you have chosen to place your name. It's in your Son Jesus Christ's holy name we do now pray. And let all hearts sing.